Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. For the second time in little over a month, some world-class Olympic-caliber athletes will compete in downtown Milwaukee this weekend. In August, it was a USA triathlon event. Well, this Saturday, some of the top rowers in the country, including members of the U.S. national team, will take to the Milwaukee and Menominee Rivers for the 13th annual Milwaukee River Challenge. Alyssa Remington is race director. She talked with Lake Effect's Mitch Tyke about what draws people to competitive rowing to begin with.
I'd say more and more, actually, it's juniors that are being drawn to the sport. Athletes in high school who may find that time with basketball or other team sports is coming to an end as you progress into a varsity level. And they're looking for some way to stay active. And so they hear about rowing through friends or they see it in the Olympics and they Google it and come on down. And you know instantly whether you love it or you hate it. It's that instant. And for those who love it, it becomes a lifelong sport. And it's more the team aspect of it and the amount of hard work that you have to put in. It really speaks to a very specific kind of person.
Well, lay out that love versus hate thing. What is it that would cause somebody to hate it?
It's pretty monotonous. You do the same motion over and over in order to get yourself up and down a river. In the winter here in Wisconsin, it's even worse because you're doing that same motion on a machine. For us, it's in a basement, and it's 4 hours at a time, and it feels like it's never going to end. But what draws you to it then is also the sound of the oars in the water in the morning, seeing the sunrise, sometimes seeing the sunset, 2 practices a day, and just the amount of hard work that you're putting in with your teammates. You can't explain that connection that you have then to the sport and to the people that are involved in it.
What makes a good rower? What are the kinds of athletes who are not only drawn to it but turn out to be good at it?
A very high level of determination, the ability to focus and stay focused and to push past the pain barriers. That is very important. There's a lot of lactic acid involved, and you have to shut that off and continue beyond it.
So it seems like the equivalent of distance running for your upper body.
That's right, except it's actually not just for your upper body. It's a whole body workout, primarily legs and your back, and then you finish it off with your arms. So while it looks like it's just the arms from the shore, if you're watching people row, it's actually almost like a seated squat where you're using your quads and your back.
Is it important to be tall, big?
It is. It is important to be tall and big. Well, you can do it while you're small. If you think about the physics of it, you know, you're increasing your lever arm, and the distance and the height really adds to your ability to move through the water.
How hard is the team building coordination aspect of it? I would imagine that, you know, there are some people who could easily get their head around, you know, this is hard physical labor and I have to push through the pain barrier, but I or whoever this is, you have to do it at exactly the same time as your teammates.
You do, and that's what you practice day in and day out. So if you don't match up the timing, you find that it's not that enjoyable for yourself, and it might not be the sport for you. So it's what you do, and again, it just kind of becomes part of the sport. You just naturally build as a team.
The thing that's always fascinated me is that there's this other person on the boat, the coxswain, if
yep.
I'm saying that right.
You are.
What draws somebody to do that?
That is a very special person as well. That is a person who has to be small enough to fit into the boat in this little seat. It's incredibly small. I can speak from experience. And they have to have a certain leadership ability and the ability to command and direct those that are almost twice their size. It takes a very unique person.
Are they motivating them as this is going on?
They are motivating them. I will say that their primary, especially in a race like the River Challenge, their primary job is to steer the boat and to get the rowers safely from point A to point B and in the shortest distance possible. But while they're doing that, on top of it, they are motivating. They are helping to set the rhythm. If something is off within the boat, they have to right the ship, you could say. They are the eyes and the ears of the boat, and they also work very closely with coaches during practice. They're an essential piece. Without them, the boat would not move.
And you say they're steering the boat. How are they actually steering the boat?
They're steering it with a rudder. They have little knobs, and they're attached to a rope, and then that rope goes throughout the boat and connects to a rudder on the underside of the boat. And when they want to go to the right hand goes forward. When they want to go to the left hand goes forward. When you're rowing a shell, you're actually – the rowers themselves are facing backwards. They can't see where they're going. And the coxswain is the only one facing forward. So you, as a rower, put your total faith and trust in this little coxswain to get you safely from, like I said, point A to point B.
Well, so let's talk about the Milwaukee River Challenge itself. This has been around for some time. How has it evolved since it was founded 13 years ago?
Well, 13 years ago, I myself was a participant as a student at the University of Wisconsin. It was a very different race in that it was a two-way race. Head races are where you send boats off one at a time and about maybe 5 to 10 seconds apart, and your goal is to chase the boat in front of you and to not get caught by the boat behind you. So when you cross the finish line, you're not quite sure where you placed, but as long as you haven't let anyone pass you, you know that you're ahead of those boats. This race was strange that you started down in the third ward near the alehouse, and you rode up to the Humboldt Avenue Bridge. There you stopped and turned around and waited for the last boat to cross because this river is very narrow. You can't have two-way traffic. Then once that last boat crossed, then they started again and they sent you back to where you started from. And that is not seen in any other head race that I can think of. Typically what you do is you race as we race today, where we start at 25th and Menominee and we go down in one direction only for approximately 5,000 meters. It's really become a junior-centric event, junior meaning high school age students. It's really evolved in terms of who's participating, but also the numbers. Like I said, there were a couple hundred athletes back in 2001. Last year, we had 650 athletes with 140 different boats. So it has really, really grown, and we continue to see growth.
And I gather there are some national class teams that will be at this?
That's correct, yes. We do try to get members of the national team here every year. It can be difficult in Olympic years, world championship years. But yes, this year we are going to have a presence from the national team. We're going to have an 8 worth of men and a coxswain, so 9 total national team members, those who participated in the recent world championships, also the Olympics, the Pan Am Games. It's a great way to showcase the sport and really show people what you can do with it. The juniors love it. The parents love it. It's really nice.
The course is 3 miles long. Do all the races go all 3 miles?
Yes, all the races go 3 miles. It starts at 25th and Canal. You travel all the way down the Menominee until you get to the junction with the Milwaukee River, where you make a 90-degree angle turn, very difficult in a boat, given their size and limited steering ability. You make the turn, and then you head up to finish the course in front of Schlitz Park.
Talk about the challenge of being a spectator at a race like this. I would imagine everybody would want to be at the finish line. What's your advice to people who want to come out and watch?
My advice is to find a place where you're comfortable. Yeah, you'd like to be at the finish line. It's neat to see people and teams put their boats in the water, and it's also fun to see them sprint it out at the finish. Sometimes there's some back and forth between the boats really trying to race it to the end. But that's not where all the excitement is. We're really lucky here in Milwaukee that we have the River Walk that is running half the distance of this course, where you can be anywhere on the River Walk and get a really up-close view of these boats. You can also stand on a bridge and see them from above. Most races, you're going to see them from 500 feet away, and they're going to be little specks. You're not going to be going to know who's in the boat. So this is really a special opportunity and way to see rowing that you can't see it at most other rowing events. I actually have to say that one of the most interesting places to watch is at the alehouse, where these boats have to try to take the turn. You see some of the more experienced crews really lining up ahead of time, and that's where they try to pass possibly a crew in front of them that may not have had such a great line for steering, as we call it. Also, given the nature of our course, the number of bridges and the width and the limited width, participants don't have that many opportunities to pass. So it's great to place yourself in a position where you can see them when they can pass. And at the junction, that's a great spot.
What is your dream for this event? Where would you like it to someday be on the rowing map?
On the rowing map, I think I want it to be a premier event in the Midwest, one that is on most people's calendars, their itineraries. We've done a pretty good job. I think we've captured most of the teams in the Midwest. We're on their agendas every year. But it would be neat to get some crews maybe from a little bit further away, those who have to come in the night before and can't just drive in the morning of. There's a big event out in Boston, the head of the Charles, thousands of boats, the largest international regatta. I don't think we'll ever get close to that. But, you know, something like that where we could have vendors up and down the Riverwalk, people lining, the entire course. It would just be spectacular to get people out there, just something for the city to get people to see the river and see all that Milwaukee has to offer.
These rivers are much different from an accessibility standpoint than the Charles is.
Oh, yeah, much, much different. You're not walking on a path that was paved by people's footprints. I mean, we have a paved set river walk for more than half of the distance of this course. And along the way, there are restaurants. We have broadcast speakers, a number of these restaurants. It's just the perfect opportunity to witness what rowing is all about.
You competed the first time that this event was held.
I did.
Do you miss those days?
I do miss those days. I've competed a few times since graduating college, actually twice at the head of the Charles. And when you're at these events, you look longingly at the athletes, and then you put yourself in a boat and you try to race and you say, oh, that's right. I'm okay with being done. I'm okay with being the organizer and being involved in a different way. So it's just as fun.
Well, Alyssa Remington, thanks so much and best of luck with the event.
Thank you very much.
Alyssa Remington is race director of the 2013 Milwaukee River Challenge, a rowing competition which follows a 3-mile course on the Milwaukee and Menominee Rivers this Saturday. She spoke with Mitch Tyke, and you can find links to more about the races from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Well, it may be fall, but that doesn't mean fair season is over. We'll hear about one coming up in a few weeks that's worth a visit. Lake Effect returns right after this short break on Milwaukee Public Radio.